I know that a lot of us Muslims, we believe that it was a journey in a dream, and some believe that it was a physical journey.
Well, no, most of the...
So what do we have to actually believe?
Yeah, it's a good question.
To understand Al-Kahf?
Most of the people do believe, because they read, that it's a physical journey Prophet ﷺ is talking about. Otherwise, Prophet ﷺ saw many things in the dream. Mm-hmm. He saw Ibrahim ﷺ's dream. He saw, the hell and heaven in his dream. And he saw... there's so many dreams I can only go through. Most of the Muslims know about so many dreams of Prophet ﷺ. If this was also a dream, then the Arabs wouldn't have a problem. Miraj became a very big bone of contention between believers and non-believers. And so much so that they started making fun of the Prophet ﷺ and all the Sahaba, that, you know, now your Prophet has come up with this this travel. You actually believe that? So if it were a dream at any level, even a weak hadith wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, and besides, if someone sees anything in the dream, no one's going to come and question you. Oh, did you have this dream? Because everyone knows that everything is possible in the dream.
Yeah, that's why.
So what was a big thing for them to come and ask?
Even the weak hadith of Miraj, the problems of the Sahabas, that wouldn't have been here. If Sahabas at any level thought this was a dream, it would not have been a problem at any level. But it is such an array of hadith and... the problems Arabs were giving to the Sahabis, that I'm just talking to those people who think that those hadith are zaif. There's so many hadith which are zaif only on a dream. It literally is a paradox. You believe it's a dream, then there shouldn't be any hadith. Forget zaif hadith. Because nobody bothers about a dream. Everybody, I fly in a dream. I've seen the sun and moon in a dream. I literally have. So, nobody's going to think that they're going to ask my brother that, you actually believe Sahil, who had a dream that he had standing on sun, the moon, or wherever. So, it's...
Wow, that's a very important point, actually.
Yeah, it's
a game
changer.
For the people who believe that it was a journey in a dream...
There wouldn't have been any text about... those problems Sahaba was going through. And the Prophet ﷺ was going through whether he's telling the truth or not.
Yeah, because no one's going to ask you about a dream.
Yeah, let alone ask your friends.
Yeah.
Oh, why are you talking about this, man?
Did your friend really had a dream?
So it's a problem. And the Prophet ﷺ, because there's so many hadith about this, of when they asked, the Prophet ﷺ told about that caravan coming in. And when is that caravan going to reach Medina? The Prophet ﷺ talked about Baitul Muqaddas at that time. And he was shown the whole masjid and, the whole structure in front of him. And so on. And Abu Bakr Siddiq getting the title of Abu Bakr Siddiq. Where else do you think people who think Miraj was a dream? Why are you calling him Abu Bakr Siddiq? Just call him Abu Bakr? Because that's how we know him. We know him as Siddiq because of the Miraj physical testimony of the Prophet ﷺ journey. Otherwise, whoever believes the Prophet ﷺ saw it in a dream, this first Khalifa is called Abu Bakr only. Okay? Wow. Because Siddiq is the word given. Otherwise, what do you think? Why was he called Siddiq? That's a question. A burden of proof is on you then. And there are so many things about why Miraj is a physical journey. Wow. I mean, it's everywhere.
That's a very strong logical argument. Wow.
Yeah, so plus the word Roya, which they think is the word of the dream, is a very recent entry in the Muslim psychology, that Roya in Bani Israel is the dream. Mm-hmm. Even the Roya in Arabic means to see. You know what I'm saying? When we say Roya, Royate Halal does not see the moon in the dream, they see it. So it's the same word. I don't know why just Roya has to be a dream only. They just don't know Arabic that much, or maybe they're too biased about whatever scholar came up with his own dream of putting this as a dream.
Yeah, or maybe they just can't make sense of this, a physical journey. So they try to find other ways.
Somehow
to
I've seen a common pattern that people who think Prophet ﷺ had a dream in the Miraj, somehow they are very pro-science. Somehow, it's just a weird anomaly. People who actually believe in science, Yeah, just somehow just double back and all of a sudden refute, and it's like, what's wrong with you? You're the first person I expect this to be, you know, rationally placed. But since science does not really explain an actual man traveling like that, especially not without a jet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So science, maybe that's why they're too biased about science. And they think that the human, Muslims, human, I don't know why I just keep on calling them human, then Muslim psychology is...
why? Muslims are not humans?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Muslims are naturally humans. So these people think that we're superstitious and we came up with this stuff. Then we'll have to, you'll have to prove a lot of things out of our your own system as well.
Yeah, that's actually kind of very weird that Mirage doesn't make sense to us, but time travel, all the theories, which are not even facts yet.
And further proof of why Surah Bani Israel is such an important surah. Because a new dispute has come up with... most people don't dispute it, so don't worry about it. But people who are going to go through more, in time, they're going to follow a bigger population of those dream believers. Yeah. We'll call them dreamers for now. Yeah, so the dreamer Muslims and the physical movers.
Time travelers.
The time travelers, yeah. The time travelers and the dreamers. These people are going to grow in population, and this is going to become a little bit of a bone of a contention later on, let's just say, you know, 2-3, maybe 4 generations from now. So this is another start of a fitan coming in right now, inside our own ranks. So thank God the Jal is not a Muslim, because I can name a few who started this dream theory. You know, this is the first deception. But this is not going to be Muslim. So the real question is, Why do we want this to be a dream? I mean, that's the real question. Mm. That what do we want to gain out of putting this as a dream? Because I know what I gain out of it when I put this as a time travel. Mm-hmm. Because it sets the psychology of Surah Kahf very, very straight up right there.
Okay.
And it gives us strength. And that the Prophet ﷺ did go through Miraj as a physical journey. And I know a scholar who actually quoted to me directly a hadith that Prophet ﷺ said, I was between the state of sleeping and being awake. And when I saw two people coming in, felt two people standing on my shoulders, because he was on the floor. Mm-hmm. And they were standing up, and then one was Jibreel and one was his companion. And then the journey starts with the dialogue, and, you know, who is the third person with us? The third person, the second person, this is Muhammad, the Prophet. And then they introduce each other, and then they start walking towards Kaaba, and then the Isra started. And this is what the hadith they use as to build up their case that this was a dream, because he was in the state of not sleeping, not of being awake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So if it said sleeping, that then you have a case. We'll talk about the health of the hadith then.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even say it's sleeping.
Yeah.
You know?
It denies sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll have to really, really come up with something better. Because the rest of the whole Arabs didn't think that he was asleep. The Sahabas didn't think he was asleep. He had to give proofs of how physical it was.
And I guess he was even asked questions regarding everything.
Well, in their defense, the dreamer's defense, you can still ask a prophet if he was dreaming, because he claimed to be a dream.
But then there was like a caravan passing by at the same time.
No,
he traveled.
Let's just say I'm a guy who believes that this happened in the dream. Mm-hmm. Then I can still ask you this question, because you claim to be a prophet.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell us, because your dreams are supposed to be true dreams.
Weaker argument, yeah.
Yeah, so, but still, since Arabs ridiculed the Prophet
ﷺ,
and Abu Bakr Siddiq, testified, so this actually goes to show really clearly that Arabs were not told that this was a dream.
Okay, so we're moving to Surah Kahf now.
Yeah,
so,
let's just
from Bani Surah Isra wal Miraj, we believe that it was a physical ascension.
No, we're not moving to Surah Kahf. We're actually going to stay on Surah Bani Israel, because there's so many things, and I'm going to drag.
You started the time travel. Yeah, that's Isra wal Miraj.
Okay.
Sahil, I'm sorry to interrupt you here. There's a story about a caravan which Rasulullah saw during his journey to Jerusalem from Mecca. Because even if it's a dream, that cannot be such a, there cannot be such a huge coincidence that he speaks to someone in the caravan in a dream, then he comes back. Can you please explain that whole story?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point, because it actually has two deep meanings, this story. One is that the psychology of Isra is a totally different psychology that we have as Muslims. Okay. We think it was a road journey, even though it was not a road journey, because this story tells that that man... Well, let me tell you what the story is.
Can you please tell the whole story?
Yeah. The Arabs asked the Prophet ﷺ that if you are so true, give us some proofs. And the Prophet ﷺ said that there's a caravan that is coming in. Mm-hmm. And it's going to reach that certain day, in a certain date and a certain time. And it did reach that, because the Prophet ﷺ saw how far that was. Mm-hmm. And not just that, during his journey, he saw that there was a man inside that caravan who had lost his camel. And the Prophet ﷺ was looking from above, so he knew where the camel was. So he actually told that guy that this is where you should look.
Okay. Like he called him out?
Yeah, he called him out, yeah. And then we know he called him up from the sky, because that man said that, yes, I heard Muhammad's voice from above. So Isra was also in the air. Okay. This is the other meaning. Isra was not a land-to-land journey.
Yeah. Okay.
So the other thing about this Isra was the Prophet ﷺ said that I saw my brother Musa's grave, and he was praying in his grave, and I know where that grave is during that journey of Isra. Yeah. This did not happen in Miraj. Miraj is a vertical ascent up to the heavens. Yeah. So all of these things happened further.
But you can see someone praying in the grave in the dream, because right now we're discussing if
I'm
a
just
dream
saying that.
But the caravan thing and the guy, he actually did come.
No. Why I said about this Musa's account is so that I can tell you that this was not a road journey.
Okay.
It was a journey in the air.
Okay.
And this further proves time travel, because this journey is about 1,200 kilometers aerial distance.
Okay.
So, this cannot be done in a matter of a second.
Yeah.
Or however long it took. When the Arabs asked for the proofs, the caravan came at the right point and the right time and the right day. And this man was asked, and he said, yes, I did lose my camel, and I did hear the Prophet's voice.
Wow. Okay,
and so there cannot be in a dream, because you cannot be just saying anything in the dream. And if I see you in my dream and I tell you to do something, you're not just going to come to my home next day and say, I heard you say that.
Yeah.
So again, that's a secondary proof. The primary proof itself is Arabs asking for the proof.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever he gave as proof is secondary in this argument.
Okay.
So, again, for people who really are looking into this sort of confusion, this literally nails it, that this is not a journey in the dream.
Okay. So, from Bani Israel, what we have to learn is the time travel. Yes? Before we move on to Surah Al-Kahf.
Not just the time travel, but the technology of time travel.
Okay.
Because these are two different sorts of technologies that were used.
Okay. Can you please explain?
The Isra was done.
What do you mean by technology?
Technology is a technical
like
term.
A mythical story. It's
not. I'll tell you why.
But we just believe it because we're Muslims.
I don't want to use the word just, because that just lowers the psychology. We just believe it means
most of the Muslims do, actually.
I'll tell you.
That's why we can never justify it. We can never argue about it. We just say, it's a matter of our faith. He did travel and...
Yeah, but it shouldn't be said in an inferior psychological way.
Yeah.
It should be a very superior thing. Mm-hmm. Because Newton didn't say, hey, you know what, I just believe that there's gravity. No, he said, it is gravity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's very unfortunate that's the level of
That's exactly why I'm saying Surah Bani Israel is so important, because that's the Newtonian belief that we have to put in time travel.
Okay.
Einsteinian belief that we have to put inside time travel. Okay. Way more than him, actually. He was theorizing it. We actually have proof.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we don't just believe it. We actually believe that this is the only thing which is true. When a scientist says, hey, you know what? Einstein is proven wrong. We don't care. We don't believe it because Einstein said it. We believe because Muhammad bin Abdullah said it.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, if we believe at that level, you know, we might just have a shot at, you know, being those of the Siddiqeens.
So it means we do have a real man who had who experienced time travel.
Not so just the Prophet, a lot of other people time travel, but we'll come to Surah Kaf later.
Okay.
But this is where the the psychology has to be constructed. And this is why I said there's no chances or coincidences in Quran. Mm-hmm. The concept of time travel, concept of angels taking Prophet in a linear direction from Kaaba to Baitul Lahm, where the Dome of the Rock, where the ascension did take place. This is something which is Surah Bani Israel, it's not Surah Kaf. So when we understand this, and then we go to Surah Kaf, then we come to Surah Kaf really well prepared as to how to look at Surah Kaf all together. In different chapters, you see that unless you know what all of this is all about, you won't be able to put Ashab-e Kaf's time travel and Zulkarnain's journey, because Zulkarnain travels through the Isra that you know, this first part of Miraj is, which is Isra.
Okay.
So because Miraj is a key word which is in the Quran, and the travel of the angels through certain pathways is called Miraj or Maharij in plural. So even the time lapse and the time difference is also told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maharij as to how angels travel about in the universe, and how their one day equals to X amount of years in our planet. So Maharij and Miraj is a totally different concept. This is why Bani
Israel...
Maharij is the plural of Miraj.
Okay. Miraj means ascension. And Maharij means ascensions?
The ways of ascension.
Okay, ways of, like, you can say portals?
Yeah, literally portals. These are different portals all used by the angels as per Surah Maharij.
That's the name of a surah. Wow. So we have a surah in the Quran.
Yeah, we have a
surah. Which talks about ways of ascension.
Yeah.
Portals.
For angels.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even the time differential is given in that surah.
Okay.
The time which is taken by an angel is a day at that portal.
It's like 50,000 years on
this planet.
On this planet.
Yeah. So this is something which is a very clear psychological construction of a Muslim mind as to how, you know, all of this universe is, you know, coming about and how things are going. And since Surah Bani Israel talks about two different types of travels, so we can't just say, oh, it's a Miraj, so Maharij. No, it's not. Isra is also there.
Okay.
So there's another way
to
travel other than the you know, those.
So there's a way, there's a portal to traverse the earth, and then there's a way to exit the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two kinds of traveling. That has
two kinds of ways.
Okay.
So once we have that in order, then we can actually understand what kind of choice of words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in Surah Kaf.
Okay.
Because He uses certain words. And those certain words are used all over the Quran. We just somehow, you know, don't use the meaning of those words in Surah Kaf somehow. And this is a problem that we need to solve. And this is why I said Bani Israel actually is a very key element of Surah Kaf. Its placement, its concept, and the types of you know, journey, and the time lapse, and, you know, so on and so forth. It actually creates that clarity for a Muslim mind that, you know, this is how it works. So now let's see what Surah Kaf is all about, so that, you know, we can understand that. But again, you know, iman is imperative here. Iman is critical. If we have that iman in the Quran, and we do not validate Quran through science, then yeah, we're good. But if we validate Quran through science, then we've lost the battle to begin with, even before the battle, because now we're looking for science. Because time travel concept, as soon as I say time travel, you're going to think Einstein. You're not going to think Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam. Yeah.
You know, you're not going to think Surah Bani Israel. No, that's not how we think. Because,
but nowadays, when you talk about time travel, it's the Interstellar that I think about.
Yeah. So why are we looking at any kind of spaceship?
Yeah.
Why did not we think when somebody said interstellar? Why didn't we think white horse?
Yeah.
You know, because that's the first interstellar that we actually found out.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, we found that out through other prophets as well. But we're talking about through the Kaaba right now. Mm-hmm. So the real question is, where do we settle the iman on all of these things, and what is the definition of iman? Mm-hmm. Once we have that, and we can only know that through the iman of Sahaba, because prophets and all the other prophets, you know, they have a totally different matrix of what iman is.
Yeah. So, and what was the psychology of Sahaba regarding all these things?
The Sahaba psychology was,
like, how are we so different than them? Where do we lose the track?
We have them, and then we have a lot of opinions of 1400 years of different European and Arabian and, you know, other scholars. And even before that, we predate our psychologies, St. Augustine and Aristotle and so on and so forth. So the thought process actually, you know, is inherited through a lot of clutter of a lot of people's differential of opinion. And then we get lost in the middle. Yeah. Even though it should have been a very linear track from the Sahabi to the current Muslim.
Yeah.
And we're not told those stories. And whoever tells those stories, we have a lot of other people who are calling that superstition, even the Muslim ranks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, your people flew, or your Sahabis were, you know, doing this and that, and you, all of a sudden, Hazrat Umar had a karama, and Hazrat Abu Bakr had a karama, Hazrat Ali had a karama. Oh my God, where is that proof? All of these are weak hadiths. That's not the point. Even if they are weak hadiths, it doesn't really matter. I'm talking about the psychology of this technology and iman on this technology that Sahaba had. And this is the definition of iman as much as a Darwinian student believes in evolution, we should have a 10 million time more belief in the way time travel is done and shown. Mm-hmm. A regular human being in the planet actually has started to believe iman in Darwinian evolution. Even some scholars of Islam say that, at some level evolution is there in terms of animals and not human beings. I don't know why they're confusing anybody. A horse was a horse when it was born a horse. You know, a monkey was a monkey. There's no evolution like that. And even if there is some sort of evolution, it is on such a subcellular level that it's insignificant. Because it's a metaphysical concept. I'm not going to go in that detail. But
yeah, I think that's not the topic, evolution. Yeah.
But iman in time travel should be at the level of Abu Bakr Siddiq, nothing less. And even if Abu Bakr Siddiq did not have that sort of iman, I'm just saying for the sake of your understanding here, we shouldn't be relying on Abu Bakr Siddiq's testimony. We should be relying on Nabi Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's testimony.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, we think that since Abu Bakr Siddiq said it's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it doesn't matter whether Abu Bakr Siddiq, that was for his own good that he believed. Yeah. We should believe as you know, Sahil Adeem, directly believing the Prophet ﷺ's testimony.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need a witness. That's against the spirit of Islam. You're not a Muslim if you believe in Miraj because Abu Bakr Siddiq said so. It's, you know, a guy comes to Umar bin Khattab and he says, I need you to double check a case. I was not satisfied with the verdict. And Umar bin Khattab said, who handled your case? And he said, your prophet handled my case. And Umar bin Khattab slaughtered him right there.
Yeah.
Did you coming to me to actually object and critically evaluate the decision of the prophet?
Yeah, I heard from someone that it's a daif hadith.
I don't care if it's a daif hadith. What I'm saying is psychology. I'm using daif or asan hadith in a same psychological flavor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He better have killed that guy. That's what I want.
Okay.
You know, because if a Muslim claims to be Muslim, he's critically evaluating Prophet ﷺ, then I don't know what kind of definition of religion, forget Islam, you can critically evaluate Abu Bakr Siddiq and everybody else in the world. But you cannot critically evaluate the Prophet ﷺ if we know that this is coming straight from the Prophet ﷺ.
Yeah, I think there are more stories of Sahaba
I will tell
of
you,
this kind of psychology.
But what I'm saying is, this is the finest example that I can think of. If it were not a daif, if it was a daif hadith, which of course it is, I think this is the best hadith for knowing how iman should be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's just say, forget about this. these are two sahabis. My father says something, and my neighbor comes in and he says, "You know what? Your father is not a right man. I should be doing everything I can." You know, which I do. And yeah. How dare you say think this or that about my father? Because yeah. I have that iman in my father. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not just an emotional concept.
Yeah.
It is a very rational concept as well. Otherwise, my family structure is going to break.
Yeah.
If I start critically evaluating everything my father is doing.
Yeah. An argument can be given here that what if your father really is wrong?
Yeah.
But we can't give that argument regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. No, well, I'm not talking about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here. I'm talking about the psychology of iman here. Okay, the psychology of iman has to be really, really crisp. It is not something which is to be taken lightly. If the Prophet ﷺ is saying something, it is way more real than gravity. If I fall down, I'm going to get hurt. Okay, this is something which, let me tell you a little story so that you can understand, because this is a real story. The Prophet ﷺ was coming into a caravan in which he looked at a horse which he really liked, and he wanted to buy that horse, but he did not have the money at that time. He said, "I'm going to pay you when we reach home," which is Medina. So they made a deal, and the deal was done. Okay, deal is closed. The horse is yours as soon as you pay me up. But as soon as the caravan hit Medina, everybody came looking for that horse. Look at this horse. And everybody, you know, wanted to pay big money for it. As soon as he got more money offer, he all of a sudden backed out from the deal. The Prophet said, "Why are you backing off the deal, man? We just had a deal." And he said, "Do you have any witness for this?" So this is the Sahabi, Suhaib, he was just walking by. He's a local in Medina. The Prophet says, "Suhaib, come here. And I want you to bear witness to the deal we had." And this guy, he said, "How can you be bearing witness to something which you didn't see?"
Yeah.
So Suhaib said, "You're talking about a horse here, buddy? I actually bear witness to heaven. I haven't seen heaven." You know?
Wow.
So I do bear witness that this deal happened, and I
Subhanallah.
You have to, honor this deal. So this is the iman. This is the actual flavor of the iman. This is why I said this. These are the construction of psychology that the Sahabas had.
Subhanallah.
This is something which is so imperative for a Muslim to know. And this is why I said, if you do not know Bani Israel, Surah Bani Israel's psychology, then you'll be falling flat on your face in Surah Kaf, thinking, there's nothing about Dajjal in here. How is this Surah going to save me from Dajjal? Dajjal is an animal. We have to kill that animal through a weapon. We need to believe in that weapon, that this weapon is going to kill Dajjal.
The weapon is Surah Kaf.
Yeah, and that weapon is Surah Kaf. But if my belief in Surah Kaf is made in Surah Bani Israel, this is how these three surahs come in together and, you know, make up a bullet which is going to shoot Dajjal down. So this is something which is so important to understand, that Bani Israel comes up with the time travel concept and the trajectory and the journeys and the ways and the ascensions and the whole... nine jars or whatever happened. And then we enter Surah Kaf, and then you look like, if you have the total iman on how, you know, these ways come about and how these journeys happen. And then when we enter Surah Kaf, all of a sudden, things fall way easier in the right places than if you just start Surah Kaf cold.
Okay. Subhanallah. So, it's about the first 10 verses of the Surah Kahf.
Okay. Surah Kahf actually starts, let's just start with the name now.
Okay.
Technically speaking, this surah should have been called Zulkarnain. That's okay.
I'm making a big claim. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just giving you a pattern of the Quran.
Okay.
Any subject that is discussed the most is determined as as the title. Surah Luqman is by Luqman's, accounts and everything. And so on and so forth. Zulkarnain is discussed in such great detail that he technically, it wouldn't have been such a big surprise if we call it Surah Zulkarnain.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why Surah Kaf is Surah Kaf. You have to understand that. And Surah Bani Israel is building up that concept.
Okay.
Because there's something